the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, only one God. Amen. Today our church celebrates the feast of our apostles. And we celebrate also for not only for all apostles and especially for the martyrdom of St. Paul and St. Peter. And if we talk about the apostles, we can say the foundation and the pillars of our church are all the apostles, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. That's why St. John, when he saw in the Revelation book, when he saw the church of the heaven, he saw 12 foundations, and each foundation, it's written on it the name of each apostle. It means that our church is built on the foundation of the apostles. The pillars of our church are our apostles. And also our church, especially the Orthodox Church, give the honor to the apostles. If we come to the church, we will find, for example, the icon of the holder of the icons, the 12 apostles. All the Orthodox Church should have the 12 apostles on the icon holders. Also, for the heteniyet, a one specially heteni for the apostles. In the commemoration, we remember too all our apostles. And when the priest go to give the absolution of the servants, he start and begin by from the mouth of the church and the mouth of the 12 apostles. It means that we give the honor to the apostles. And why? Because this is our the foundation of our church, and the pillars of our church are the apostles. And when we celebrate today the martyrdom of St. Peter and St. Paul, we have to know in first that St. Peter was chosen during the life of Jesus Christ, but for St. Paul, as you know, it is after his ascension to the heaven. And the main, why we choose the main two pillars to celebrate their martyrdom, for example, for St. Peter and St. Paul, because St. Peter is a symbolized of to preach the Jews, and also for St. Paul, for all the Gentiles. That's why it's mean that both of the two pillars for all the world. And we have to ask ourselves how they did all of this. How they preach all the word, how they went to all the word and to preach that on the name of the God, how they did this, and it's according to the grace of God. After they receive the Holy Spirit, they have the grace of God. That's why St. Peter, for example, it's most probably is similar to our life, like it's approximately near from our life. If we talk about, for example, about myself or anybody, we can take St. Peter and his life the same as us. For example, if we ask Peter, "You love Jesus Christ?" He will reply, "Yes, from my deep heart." And this is exactly what happened when Jesus said, "I will go to die." And he said, "No, I will die before you." And if I'm asking now anybody in the church or outside, any Christian should be, they will reply to me, I will ask them, "You love God? You love Jesus Christ?" He will reply on me, "Yes, I love Jesus Christ from my deep heart." And the problem that when we saw St. Peter in a situation under a pressure, he denied Jesus Christ. He denied him. Maybe I'm not going to deny Jesus Christ, but sometimes I forget that Jesus Christ exists. When I do any sin, I forget that Jesus Christ is beside me. The Torah is the same. The life of Peter is the same life of me. The same life. But Peter is a good example for us because Jesus Christ tried to change Peter from this person, a fisherman, who denied him, to a pillar of our church. If Peter, who denied Jesus Christ, Jesus could transfer him to a pillar, then also I have to ask God to change me to be a one of pillars of the church. Which is exactly what I have to ask God. Even St. Paul, the same. According to the grace of God, he was fighting against the church, persecute all the Christians, and after, according to the grace of God, he is not a pillar. No, we can't say only a pillar, St. Paul. We called in our church St. Paul the disciple number 13. St. John Chrysostom, in one speech about St. Paul, he said, St. Paul exceeds all the virtues from all the saints. Even he exceeds the virtues of the angels. And he tried to compare between St. Paul and all the prophets in the Old Testament, for example. He said that he was exceeding all the virtues. For example, he compared between Noah and St. Paul. Noah built a big ark and saved 8 people. Only 8 persons. And St. John Chrysostom said, St. Paul built 14 epistles as a big ark to save all, not all the people, it's a thousands and millions from the people. One verse only in Romans changed St. Augustine. And after he repented, he changed all the people, thousands and millions of the people. Then we can say that's why St. John Chrysostom tried to compare between all the prophets and all the saints and St. Paul. He found that St. Paul is exceeding the virtues. And we have to, again, we ask ourselves, if all the apostles enjoyed by the grace of God and they receive the grace of God, then how I can enjoy the same grace? First of all, Jesus Christ chose the apostles, his disciples. And also, I am as a Christian, Jesus chose me to be his disciple. I am a disciple of him. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am a Christian, it means that I am a disciple. I am an apostle. And I received the grace of God. From the day one I was Christian, I received the grace of God. And if I tell myself how I can be a disciple, how I can be an apostle, I am a weak man. I am a poor man. I am a sinner. I will tell you about, again, St. Peter. He denied Jesus Christ. He's a fisherman. He's a very poor man. You can imagine when, for example, if a CEO of any organization, of any company, he needs to choose, for example, people who work with them for anything, about engineers, about accountants, he tries to choose the best of the best. As we say in French, la crème de la crème. Why? He needs that he exceed everything, success. But if we go to Jesus Christ and ask him why you choose them, they're very poor, they're not educated. You know who is educated? Only one from the 12. He was educated. No, St. Luke is one who is not from the disciples. From the disciples. Who? No, Judah, the betrayer. Only the one he was educated. Only. Judah the betrayer. Why? He work by himself, by his hand. He put everything on his from his brain. He is well educated. He is very good. He can do everything. And he didn't give anything to God to work. He didn't give the chance to God to work. And he depended only on his hand, on his brain. That's why, by the end of the day, he betrayed Jesus Christ. Then, the problem that Jesus Christ tried only, it's not a problem, but Jesus Christ tried to tell us about not depend on your hand. Give me the chance to work through you. That's why he chose all the disciples, non-educated, to tell all the world, I am working by myself, by my hand. Not depend on these people. That's why he chose all the people, all his disciples like this. That's why if I tell myself, for example, I'm poor, I can't do anything, I am a sinner. For example, if I'm asking, for example, some come to me, I can't serve in the church, I can't pray, I am a sinner. I tell you, no, you are very strong by God. If you leave God work on you, you will be strong. Then first one, I have to know that God chose me to be a disciple, to be an apostle. That's why I have to enjoy his grace, and I have to leave him to work on me and work with me. And also, the second point is, he said like this, he sent them to preach all the people, and he sent them gradually. For example, he told them, go to the Jews only and try to preach them. Then, one by one and step by step, they went to all the world to preach all the people. And this we have to learn from this point, that in our spiritual life, we have to go gradually to receive the grace of God. For example, I can't begin my spiritual life by do 100 matanya. We can't. Or I have to start, begin to pray the Agbeya all. No, we have to grow in my spiritual life gradually. And to at least to know how to receive the grace of God, or to touch the grace of God, to taste the grace of God. That's why it's very important to grow up, but gradually. And the third point about how I can enjoy the grace of God, we have to work on encourage myself all the time. One of the famous word of the devil, the hopelessness. That's why, for example, if I am a sinner, I do sin, and I do it again, and I go to repent, and I confess, and again I do it. And by the end of the day, they will try to explain to me, you are very bad. And you will never receive the grace of God. You are not worthy to come to the church to take the communion. And this is the hopelessness. That means the devil don't want to give me any hope in God. And I will never taste the grace of God by this way. Then, to taste the grace of God, I have to know very well I am strong through God. I am strong through God. Even I fall, I have no problem. I will go again. He will raise me. He will give me his hand to take me. This is God. This is the love of God. That's why, also, if I'm asking if they receive all this grace, the grace of God, the apostles, and also the Christians, why they are keep going? Because they have only one goal. Only the target is the heaven. If I put, for example, a goal, which is the heaven, the same what all the apostles did. For example, if we go to the epistle of Philippians, first of all, he said in the chapter 2, "For it's God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Then I have to work by myself. This is exactly what we said, that I have to work and I have to keep God working me first. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." I have to rejoice the Lord. I have to be happy that the Lord is me with me all the time. "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Everything in my life is rubbish. Everything in my life is rubbish. Only one thing, in fact, in my life is the heaven. Only the fact, one fact only in my life is the heaven. If I reach the heaven, this is my goal, and I reach my heaven, it's good. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Chapter 1, Philippians. I can do everything through God. I am strong through God. "For to me to live is Christ, and to dull is gain. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is a far better." St. Paul tried to, it's like, I can't believe that he said like this, because he has that to choose in between. He tried to tell us about that. I choose in between. I choose between to stay in earth or to depart, to go to the heaven. He has the desire, the yearning to go to the heaven. And also, he had the desire to help the people here in earth. This is our target. If we put the heaven in before our eyes, we will do the best in our earth. And also God tried to tell us about live the heaven on earth. When we talked before about the church, it's a part of the heaven. If I go to my room and close my door and raise my hand and close my eyes and I'm praying, I transfer my room to the heaven. If I keep the love to all the people in my heart, I live the heaven in my heart. I keep the heaven in my heart. All my acts to be as God said to me, I live the heaven in my life. That's why he said, St. Peter, for example, in this epistle in Philippians, he said, "I'm this desire to depart." And when they asked him about something, he replied about the heaven. He told them, "I saw the heaven 3 times. And when we ask St. Paul about what you saw in the heaven, he replied, "I cannot explain. It's more than I can explain." And this is our desire. That's why when we saw all the martyrs in our life or before in our history, they never move. But they are running to to the death. They need to go to the heaven. If they ask anyone, I will persecute you, thank you, because I need to give a gift to God. I will kill you. This is my desire. Why you are like this? I put the heaven before my eyes, and I know by the end of the day I will meet Jesus Christ. And this is what we have to know about. That's why the chapter 4 in the Epistle of Philippians, he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Lord is at hand. That's why he said, Lord is at hand. He's coming soon. That's why only St. Paul saw the paradise of joy, and he said that the Lord is at hand. His hand is at hand. It means, this is in English, if we translate in Arabic, it means that Ar-Rabbu Qareeb. And why it's in English, I try to understand the meaning. Why it's named like, is it, Lord is at hand. What is the maximum my hand? If I make like this, this is maximum distance. It means it's very near. That's why the translation in English is at hand. It's very near. Maximum, the maximum distance of my arm is what? Less than 1 meter. For example, it's mean that it's very near. That's why the heaven and the paradise of joy and our Lord is very near at my hand. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, chen omens mi.